to Notcast, episode 146. Breaking the fourth wall.
Are we starting now? Are we recording?
Yes. Oh my god.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Oh my god.
We're doing a show, oh my god, yay! We're all here, except we're not. Oh, poor Recky.
Houston is eating him again.
Houston keeps eating the poor guy, and he doesn't escape. I mean, he does escape, he's super tired.
Well, it is appropriate that it is War Thursday, though.
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
I'll explain later.
It was Thursday.
He did say that, you know, his job assignment was going to keep him down there like 3 weeks this month, so. What can you do, LOL?
Yeah.
Besides pity him.
Yeah. At least he's got, you know, friends and internets down there.
And Twitter. Lots of Twitter.
Of Twitter.
And his iPad.
Yeah. So you can watch stuff on it.
Yay!
Anyways, I'm Saffron.
I'm Fuzzball.
And I'm Sheba.
And we're Notcast, the furry sex relationship podcast. Yay, we need to remind ourselves of that from time to time. You know, I kind of thought of it the other day. It's like, you know, we introduce the show, welcome to Notcast, blah, blah, blah. We never say what we are and what
we're
we do.
A podcast.
We're a podcast. It's kind of like how Serbian film is a film. And cupcakes is... it's not that bad, I hope. I mean, after all, nobody has killed themselves after walking out of the theater watching us. I hope.
If they watched us, I want to know where they saw us.
Didn't you know there's a camera and a squid lamp?
Oh, no. The blinding squid lamp.
Yeah. You know, if I go up to IKEA, I'll get some shades for it. So... anyways, let's get to the emails. We didn't have a ton this time, but that's okay. We've been kind of back and forth in the topics, and it was an idea that I had.
Yeah,
Life's been kind of crazy here on our end, so...
And to be honest, we've had a bunch of long podcasts recently, so having a semi-short one, you know.
Yeah, that's too true, too. This will be a short show.
By semi-short, it's still going to be long, but...
it's still going to be like an hour.
Hour, whatever.
I saw another podcast recently that was like, oh my god, we're 30 minutes long. I don't know if you guys have the attention span to listen to us. And I'm like...
oops. I guess we've been doing
okey
it wrong.
Dokey. But, no, we're long-winded, but...
but not as long-winded as some. I know you and Tyrion have listened to some gaming-related casts
for
like 3 or 4 hours long.
Back in the day, yeah. Octail and Hordak versus the World, rest in peace, was... they did a once-a-year podcast-a-thon. And they did it, like, 2 years. 1 year they went 11 hours, and the next year they went 12.
Oh, God.
We should try that sometime.
But since they were just a general gaming podcast, they had so much to talk about.
Right.
And the guys were massive complainers. So they would find something to complain about for 15 minutes at a go, and then have a friend come over, and they had, like, a snacks bar set up, and they rotated people in and out.
Did they do it with, like, different podcasts, or was it the one podcast for 11?
It was the two dudes and, like, a bunch of their friends.
Because I know Smodcast recently did an event called Poddammit.
Wow.
But it was basically... I think it was 24 hours, but it was all... and Kevin Smith was on half of these, of course, but it was all different shows. So it was like the one he does with his wife, the one he does with Jay Muse, Hollywood Babylon with Ralph Garman, Smodcast, of course, with Scott Mosier, and, you know, rotating friends there. But it was multiple different shows. It wasn't one show for 11 hours.
Well, what would be neat is if you had did a format like that where you had, like, six or different shows. And towards the end, you're wrapping up one. The next, say you had, like, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith and his wife.
Yeah.
And as Jason Mewes and him are finishing up, his wife comes and sits down, and they kind of segue into her segment, and Jason Mewes drops off. Where you just have the guests kind of segueing into each other's
show.
That
would be actually something kind of cool to do at a con, actually.
Uh-huh.
Have a podcast gauntlet or whatever, where it would be a shared setup, but then you'd have, like, us, an Unfurled, an Unsheathed, and, you know, Wuro and insert podcast here that I'm sure I'm offending by not mentioning.
you offend someone? No.
Well, I'm just saying, it's like off the top of my head, I know of these podcasts. I'm sure I'm missing some.
Bronyville, Who First, you know, the other shows that we're on.
Oh, that's true, too.
Because then we could have the crossover. You know, you'd have us doing Notcast, and then Shiva, Reki, and I would leave, and then Apple Cider would come on, and you'd do a Bronyville. And then I guess maybe he could do a crossover, finally do an Anthro podcast.
Or you could come back, finish up the last little bit of that, and then Teal comes on, you segue into Who First.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I mean, this would be a cool idea, something for like...
Then we get Teal and Reki to do like an hour on gaming. Something.
Yeah, it could be. It has to be like a 3 hour, 4 hour block of time.
Yeah,
but it would be cool to try. And if any con people out there want us to do that, call us.
See, the main problem
is just getting everybody in one place.
Be, yeah, getting this is the kind of thing that would actually work better
at like FC,
either at a big con where a lot of people are at, like
AC,
FC. Well, actually, FC would be better because a lot of the people
everybody
who
is,
do
is
other
on the
shows
West Coast.
Are on the West Coast.
Either Rainforest or FC.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, either Rainforest or FC because, like, the Unfurled guys come down for those cons as well.
And we're planning on being at FC this year.
Right.
Mmm. There might be a project in the works.
I still owe their podcast coordinator, track lead, I guess, a email anyway.
Yep.
To see if we want to do a Notcast there this year.
We should do that.
Yep.
And now you get to know about our super secret plans.
Woo!
Which we just made.
Yes.
And don't hold us to this because it might not happen.
Yeah, it's just a cool idea.
Yes, so secret.
Like a podcast again.
Hey, you know, AC and I are going to try to do that once the second season of Pony starts. Is we're going to like marathon season one and do like a running commentary.
Mm-hmm.
We have like a SyncTube channel with a group of people, and
that sounds like it'll be chaos if you just open it up to me.
Well, no. See. We would be recording it, and there's a SyncTube chat room.
Oh, okay, all right. So, like, the two of you are doing... Have you pre-recorded it, and then you play it, or are you recording
it? No, we're recording
it
while we're doing it.
Okay.
It's an idea we had.
Oh, okay. Would you do that on live stream, or is there an actual... You said SyncTube, that's an actual website?
Yeah, it basically lets you watch YouTube videos with a group of people. It's kind of like Ustream, except YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And people run, like... Brony movie nights,
mm-hmm.
where they basically queue up a bunch of movies that are on YouTube in segments and watch them as a group. I saw The Brave Little Toaster
mm-hmm.
the other day. Holy fuck, those movies, what were they smoking in the 80s?
Something
they
that they had
to
for
brave
the toasters
little
make sense?
Toaster constantly on
the Brave Little Toaster, holy shit. The Vietnam vet air conditioner that kills himself.
I think that was my sister's generation. I haven't seen this one. I know what it is, but I haven't
scary
seen
clown moments.
Like I said, they used to play all the time on Nickelodeon.
Huh.
It's one of those movies that personifies like the big-lipped alligator moment. There's like this random scene where they go into this happy glen full of animals and critters, and they're all singing, and they're this little thing, and then they wander on. And it's just, we had an animation budget. We needed to spend it. And Cats Don't Dance. I saw that the other day.
Oh, I like that. I saw that at the theater.
Lauren Foss was in that one.
No
she
way.
Was an animator for it.
Sweet.
So, we're tying this all together.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen that one, but I heard it's decent.
Oh, man. You know what? I own that movie, but I own it on VHS with a clamshell case.
It's on YouTube, dude.
The whole film?
Yeah, it's all in segments.
Wow, okay. Maybe I should just pick it up on DVD sometime.
It's just one of those things I hadn't seen in forever. And it's like, hey, it's this analog of black integration into Hollywood.
Hmm. I remember it being a good movie. There's a couple good songs in it.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. Isn't Scott Bakula, I think, is the voice of Danny, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because that was,
Bakula.
Like, the first thing I saw him in after Quantum Leap went off the air.
So,
oh, Scott Bakula.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He was good in Quantum Leap. I really liked him in Enterprise as the captain. But, you know. Random Panther drive-by.
Well, you know, next thing I know, he's going to be meowing and going between my feet.
Did I hear a death glare from the kitchen?
And pissing on the microphone cords to mark them.
The socks should be... The socks and all that should be in the dryer. They should be dry.
I thought you said the fox for a second.
No.
Why is the fox in the dryer? It's like tumble.
Okay. Tumbling the fox.
Okay.
I thought that was the iPad for a second. It's
like
the car manual.
Oh, she has the iPad over here.
This is a very random start to the show.
I'm fine with this, honestly. Like I said before, part of what I enjoy about this is the banter.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be, we want
to... Plus, we don't have a lot of emails, so we don't have to, like, rush.
Since you were saying, like, let's define what we are, it's like, yeah, we do the relationship and advice, relationship and sexuality advice. We also do other advice, too, and...
Some not good, some not bad.
But I also, we mostly give good advice, I
plus,
think,
we're also big
to.
Nerds, and we
we're
talk
We're also
about
big
stuff
nerds.
Like.
I like the tangents, and I like just the bullshitting with friends. If I didn't have the bullshitting with friends, this would feel like a job, and I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because I've already got plenty of other commitments that are serious, I guess.
Yeah.
This is partially fun, partially serious, and that's the only reason that it works.
Yep.
If it was serious all the time, it would suck balls.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, other than that, it's nice to go back and watch the old animation, the stuff that you hadn't seen in a while. And
Some of it holds up.
Some of it's like...
I was talking to
a coworker about this the other day, and I was like, yeah, I made the mistake of watching... The original animated Transformers movie about a year ago.
Dare
like,
to be stupid.
Yeah, I know. It does.
I am still... I don't know. That's one of the ones I can still sit down and...
I can, but it doesn't hold up as awesome as I think it does. And, what was the person saying that she went back and watched?
That happened to me as well, because I was like, man, Transformers, fuck yeah. Wow.
That's funny. I never watched My Little Pony when I was a kid, though. You told me, like, there's some... fucked up shit.
Yeah,
the original series.
Like there's
like some really developed plots with.
Well, no,
that
in like
shit.
The movie there was the cartoons were vapid bullshit meant to sell ponies to girls.
Right.
But there was like Firefly's Adventure,
uh-huh.
which was like a straight up animated movie that had adventure theme and ponies died and stuff.
Ponies died.
Yes.
Really? I mean, okay, I can see. You know, because one of the things about Transformers movie that always surprises me is the mass amount of Transformer massacre that occurs in that film.
Yeah.
You know, especially some of it is really hardcore. Like, the one thing I always...
Dropping the guys into the fucking acid, and they go... and melt. I was like...
What I remember is, you know, Ironhide dies.
Yeah.
He's like a major character throughout the series. And he doesn't just die... Megatron executes him gangland style. You just see his gun fully facing the camera and just boom, shoots him in the fucking face. That's some hardcore shit.
Yeah,
that's
the one thing that always surprised me and kind of made me really kind of sad when I first watched it.
Mm.
But I still respect it. It's like, holy crap, they just killed Ironhide.
You know, I don't think I thought about it at the time when I was watching it. And now looking back, I was like, holy shit, 10-year-old saw this movie. No.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm surprised that ponies die though, because I mean, yeah, Transformers mostly, you know, not to get too gender stereotypical, but I will. Transformers is mostly a boys' cartoon. At least 80s ponies is mostly a girls' cartoon.
Oh well, no, there,
I'm
there's
a little surprised
no mostly
that they were
slaughtered. Totally were.
Yeah, ponies. You know, was it like a bloodbath?
No.
Like,
it's just like they got dropped into pits and never were seen again. and knocked off cliffs and stuff
so
like that.
So not gangland executions.
Not gangland executions, but...
not as hardcore as
it's like, that pony just fell down a pit and it's not a Pegasus.
Oh, shit. Right.
Yeah, me and the Transformers movie had a obsessive relationship. I would get home, I would, like, watch a couple of afternoon cartoons, and then about 5 o'clock when all the bad crap just started, I just put a Transformers movie, watch it every day.
Another movie that I watched recently, again with the, you know, the sync tube, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, I remember that.
I saw that not too
that
long ago.
That fucking Judge Doom.
I just accidentally archived one
of
my
Whoops.
The what, Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd is Judge Doom. And it's like, I remember watching that show when I was a kid and being kind of freaked out. And then I watched it, you know, just recently and realized, yeah, I totally should have been. Because that's just a really, like, the whole dipping things, like when he executes that shoe and it's screaming.
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty
holy
crazy.
Shit. And then at the end when he, you know, he's doing his dumbass joke routine and like all of, this is something I noticed in the channel notice, is like the weasels that die, they get their little weasel afterlife, but the ones that fall in the dip don't.
Ooh.
Because the weasel that falls in the dip doesn't have a little angel fly out.
Ooh. That's kind of
yeah,
horrifying.
Think about that. Not only do they not... They get erased from existence. They get all, like, silenced.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Were we reading this one this week?
I don't know. I didn't read that.
So, yeah, this has been not cast animation cast. But, yeah, I like going back and watching that SIF. It's, you know, I've always been a fan of animation, and this has been something that it's my entire life.
Well, that's one reason I got sad. I mean, I like the Pixar stuff, but I've always liked traditional animation, and that includes Disney in all of its flavors. And when they started announcing that they weren't going to do Cell animation anymore, that just made me really kind of sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It made me heart sad.
I mean, I grew up watching Aladdin and Robin Hood and Beauty and the Beast and all that.
I really love Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid was my sister's favorite movie for a long time. And we had the Golden Penis edition of the VHS.
Yeah, I got that.
I
don't know if it's
that.
Worth anything. But
it's not, but, you know, still it's one of those things, a penis.
Yeah. Someone at Disney was horny that day.
There's that, I mean...
Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, yeah, those were good.
That fucking kangaroo rat.
I love that kangaroo rat. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. You know, I still remember seeing Rescuers Down Under in the theater, and that opening shot in the theater was like, wow. The first time, that fucking massive running shot over the outback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like... That was CG back in the day that took massive amounts of time to do.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it was traditional as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's what I liked about those sort of 80s, 90-ish Disney movies, that you had a little bit of CG to kind of enhance it,
but it
wasn't overdoing it, yeah.
That's like the gazelle scene in Lion King with CG.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't also mixed assisted?
It was mixed assisted, but so was the marching scene. Scar.
But that was a big deal also when they were putting
yeah,
it together.
Yeah, and that was
I
stuff
mean,
that took, you know, tons and tons
see,
of time.
I didn't
nowadays,
know it actually was CG.
They just shit it out and, oh, look, it's Kung Fu Panda 2.
Yeah,
I like Kung Fu Panda 2, though.
Okay. Well, I'm just...
I'm sure they're fine movies, but the visual look just doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I just don't really get into the CG stuff.
Now, have you seen Brave? The trailer for Brave
is
the next Pixar movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's set in Scotland, and has a red-haired chick as its protagonist.
Really?
Hmm.
And
sounds interesting.
Yeah, it looks really good.
You know, Wall-E was good. After
Wall-E was great.
Made me sit down and watch it.
Wall-E was great. I like that one. Cars can go fall to a compactor for all I care.
I don't know. I like Tomater from that, and that's about it.
Finding Nemo was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. Ooh, new Lackadaisy sketches are on.
But yeah, animation. The fandom wouldn't exist without it.
I'm amused that you're reading a webcomic on
no.
your tiny phone screen when you have an iPad in front of you.
Yeah, but I feel weird browsing on handed iPad, so.
It's not like you're going to find porn or anything. It's like,
yeah, but I might put porn on it and he might get mad at me.
Oh, he
like his iPad wallpaper is a picture of his erect cock.
No, it's totally not.
No, it's not.
I just followed a Twitter link and she's got, or he, I don't know, has new sketches.
Tracy Butler.
I love the expressions
she's cool.
she gets.
Mm-hmm.
Just the best expressions, the best gestures.
Yeah.
I think Lackadaisy is up for a Hugo.
Oh, cool.
It deserves it. I mean,
yeah.
Like, some of the stuff that she does, like, there was this one comic I saw, which has, like, the two main characters as little kids. And, like, one of them eats, like, a million waffles and goes to dig. But just the way that she did the expressions and the word balloons, it just this hilarious comic.
Just,
it's like, I must dig. Like, okie dokie.
If people aren't aware of it, Lackadaisy is a comic that features anthropomorphic cats. It's kind of done in the roaring 20s.
Is that during Prohibition?
Yeah. And it's Lackadaisy, LACKADAISY.foxprints.com. And it's a really, really cute comic.
I think the main site is LackadaisyCats.com. But yeah, another thing. Actually, on other Anthro news, I was just showing Shiva this. Dreamkeepers has an animated, a 15-second long, fully animated commercial for their graphic novel series.
Cool.
That has a like Hollywood-ish sounding voice actor in the background. It's really cool. Actually, he posted it to FA. Let me just let you know his FA name. It might just be Dreamkeepers, actually.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think it... Just look up Dreamkeepers on FA. And... oh, no, it's in the submissions. It wasn't in the journal. Okay. And it has a link to the video on YouTube. But it's really... Really impressive, really nice animation.
Yeah, it's Dreamkeepers and fully animated DK commercial. It's,
okay, you found it, right?
Yeah, it's Dreamkeepers. For if any not yet, user Dreamkeepers. And it is some slick looking stuff.
I have to dig.
Nice.
Okay, you did find it there, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to dig.
I actually hadn't looked through
and
seen that one before, but oh my god.
Eat pancakes.
This is Welcome to Podcast, where we read web comics on the air.
Let's see.
Okay. I can see eternity.
Okay, I'm not going to read the Lackadaisy right now, but... Okay, my iPad just corrected the word who first to shocked.
Well, clearly, it is shocked that we are taking such a ridiculous tack with this episode. So, let me save, and then we will get to the actual meat of the show, perhaps.
I'll stop giggling.
Hey, giggling's fine.
No, there's no space between fur and planet. What is wrong with you?
What is this? I don't even... Alright, so, we will just start from the top of the list here, and I will begin...
I was actually going to say, do you want to read the topical ones first?
Okay, well, we can do the topical ones, because, you know, we've been tangenting about...
Randomly.
Random stuff, but also, you know, animation does tangent into furry in real life, in a way...
Right.
We're like, you know, blending the world and being all wizards and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And making it make sense.
Okay.
Okay.
That was sort of a Savard's been smoking weed all afternoon comment. But,
you know what?
I'm trying to follow you.
I kind of wish, you know, I've had a good day. That would have probably made it better. But don't do drugs, kids.
It's like podcasting with Kevin Smith. You know what would be a great idea? Insane description. Credits.
Johnny Reeves, a spike.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So,
dear podcasters,
I'm just gonna pick one of these that's topical at random.
Okay.
And I'm gonna read it.
Why don't you do that?
I will. Break the walls down. Furry has actually popped up a lot as of late in the real world. Around January, I made a post on FA about wanting to get my fat ass to the gym more often and get back in shape. Well, it turned out that one of my watchers had the same idea, and we got to talking and found that we only lived 10 minutes away from each other. Aw, yeah.
Hot gym sex.
So we decided to work out with each other at the local gym. In order to pick each other out of the crowd, we both wore furry-themed shirts the first time we met. We got a few friendly looks, but we hit it off pretty well, and after a few months, we moved from gym partners to best friends, and he took me with him to AC this year.
He should have worn his Give Me the Marble t-shirt.
Yeah.
So
just yiffy.
You can hear just the utter thrill in Savard's voice regarding that.
He is way more furry in real life than me, so when people ask us how he met, it's always a race between me and him to reply. He picked me up on the side of the road. I say we met at the gym. He instantly wants to talk about the dog people, so I have to explain furry to a lot of mundanes at the light without any help from my partner. A great example happened a few weeks ago. A group of us were at dinner, the waiter taking our orders, and I was the last one to order and went for the veal, and one of my friends started to laugh. When we asked what was so funny, he pointed to that the horse ordered a salad, the wolves both went for steak, and the rat went for baby. I told the waiter not to ask questions and that we would tip well. The Judas to your priest, Tiptoe, the rat.
The rat. God bless Tiptoe.
The rat went for baby. baby. Other white meat.
Yeah,
I also watched that movie the other day. I had terrible taste in movies when I was 16.
Wait, which one? Oh, was that?
Austin Powers 2.
Oh,
that came out
right
when I was 16.
Wow. Just wow.
Oh.
Okay. Episode 146, Breaking the Fourth Wall, and Fourth is Dispelled. Hoi hoi again, Notcast crew. I thought I'd write in about the topic of this week's episode. I'm happy to say that for however much the fandom has come into my real life, that I've yet to have any awkward moments of what is that. And that is mostly due to the fact that my three brothers and I have loved anime from an early age. So when I would have furry art or whatnot out, my parents just shrugged it off as something to do with anime. Which, you know, there was a big crossover there, so makes sense. My second oldest brother, who I believe has listened to at least one or two of your recordings, is also, for the most part, a furry fan. So he's made it easier to get my fandom on without feeling awkward about it. Your fan, Canadian Tiger, Renes Tora. P.S. Just wanted to say that the Canada Day parade that goes down the street near my house was pretty good this year. Old warplanes flying so low to treetops danced, and a full marching band that played the Superman theme. Hope you all have a fun 4th of July.
Did you guys see that trick plane that was flying right before the fireworks?
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty cool.
No, I was... It's kind of funny, actually, and I tweeted about this, that I was home that weekend, and I was, like, hardcore working on For Planet stuff. Like, I was doing the site upgrade that night, and... basically, everyone that lives, all the furries that live in my apartment complex and some of the friends that have come over, we're all gathering outside in the parking lot because the way our apartment complex is positioned, we could actually see the Kaboom Town fireworks from the parking lot. So there's like a lot of people sitting up in their cars or throwing blankets down on the parking lot ground to sit and watch. It was actually really cool, and it was kind of a cheating way to watch the fireworks display.
Well, I was right on the other side of the highway on top of my parking lot.
We could see them from here.
Yeah, I mean,
it was the treetops.
Yeah.
It was pretty damn cool. So But apparently there are a couple people were asking Tieran where his fuzz is coming out. And because there were so many people in Aston at that time, our phones had no signal because there was so many phones dialing off the signal. So Tyrion came back to the apartment and basically made me come out. He's like, come out and be happy and hang out with your friends, damn it. Like, dragged me away from my computer. And I'm kind of glad he did because it was really nice, just chilling out with about a dozen people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all had a little get-together at some of the apartments there later on. But I didn't see the planes because I got pulled out there a little later on, like 10 minutes before fireworks actually started. But it was a really nice night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Our 4th of July weekend was pretty cool. Panther and I went up to Romano State Park, where they host Oaklacon.
I wanted to go.
Oh, you
go
went
there.
Up to that shindig?
Yes, we went up there. Panther wanted to go get photos, and it was just kind of cool. We're big boosters of the con. We both go as super sponsors. Oaklacon's great. You should really go.
We love Oaklacon a long time.
Yes, long time. And it doesn't hurt that they made us guests of honor last year, so they're our bros for life. Yo.
They bribe us with meat.
And wine. Holy shit. That wine. Oh, man. If you missed it, you missed it. Sorry.
I'm
you
still
want whining, they'll show you whining and dining and cheese.
So much cheese.
Yeah.
But yeah, super. We went up there. There was a cookout. We hung out, talked, chatted, drove back. And what's great is we got our new car, right? We got back there and back on one tank of gas with a gallon of spare.
Sweet.
So that's pretty far.
I cooked a lot that weekend. I made blueberry jam and blueberry preserves and
blueberry muffins.
Well, I had a lot of blueberries to process, so yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? None of us lost any fingers or toes because none of us are dumb enough to play with fireworks.
Well, I'm dumb enough. I'm just not.
Yeah, you're not
going to be arrested here in town.
Yeah, Carrollton's hardcore about that shit.
Oh, this was part of the.
But no, if I'm in a place where I can light up fireworks, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm that dumb.
You were saying, Fuss?
This was part of dumbassery when I lived in Florida, was that every year I saw posts from other Florida furs that had gotten together, like, yourself, fireworks. One guy burned his hand and. One guy fired fireworks into a trash can by accident and started a fire because they would get drunk and barbecue and play with fireworks on the 4th of July. And I was just like, you guys are fucking morons.
Now, see, I grew up, when I was younger, I had friends that lived in the rural country. They were unincorporated, so they could set off fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was either 15 or 16, I burned down his front yard. Thankfully, he had sort of a semicircle driveway, so it was a semi-isolated, completely dead, dry section. So we burned down that section of yard. But we were kids.
Yeah.
But one of the things I thought was funny was in Oklahoma on the way back from the Oklahoma shindig,
mm-hmm.
You should go, there's all these...
Register now!
Oklacon.com.
Actually, it's .org.
.org. Google it.
.org.net.com.
.com, that's the adult site. Pretty yiffy cabin.
Their profile system's kind of interesting. Anyways, they have all these, like, firework stands.
They must have stolen it from Pounds to some of the options on there.
There's all the firework stands on the side of the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma is dead. It is brown. And there's like little bits of green here and there, but it is brown. There are signs on the side of the freeway warning, let's say, warning, extreme wildfire danger. Right in front of the signs. Cheapest fireworks in the state! Yeehaw! It's like, oh, I am so glad I'm not going to be, you know, on fire, coming the 4th of July.
God, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. So who turned
us now? It'll be Shiva's. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Shooby doop doop doo wah.
Test, test, test.
Da 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 da. Yay, 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 yay.
Yay, 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 yay.
Yay, 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 yay. Oh my.
And that little interlude was us realizing that 40 minutes into the recording, about 30 minutes of live show, it was recording on my internal microphone from my iMac for some reason, and not the the hardware we're using. So, whoops. We're going to sound a little derfy after... Well, we're going to sound normal after this, so we might sound a little derfy. I'll put a note before. It's like, just so you know. Whoops. So, Shiva, how about you read an email?
Okay. let's see. Here's one.
There's one that was, oh no, the fourth wall broken.
Yep, that's what I was going for. Oh no, the fourth wall has broken. Greetings, fluffers and not stuffers. Furry in the world, real world, Well, other than the five or so meets and the one con I've gone to, furry for me has actually popped up quite a bit. And not by my admission or choice. It's slowed down some since I've been out of college for the summer, but come September I'll probably find myself amongst the same people who know my deep dark secret of being a fur fag. Oh god. I can't remember all the times that furry has cropped up in real life. In most instances were accidents where I had a webpage open to a furry site, FA or otherwise, and someone happened to glance over, but those have led to some interesting instances. One example is when my non-furry friends found out I was a furry. She dated a guy once, and this guy turned out to be an E-troll turned RL troll. The same friend, who we'll call S, has a habit of not keeping her trap shut when it comes to certain things she shouldn't be saying, like the fact that I'm a furry in front of her troll boyfriend, who she knew was a troll. He was fine at first, simply because he didn't see how much of one I am. Eventually, however, he started letting the troll out when S was not around, which got on my nerves. I confronted him and her about it, and afterwards he didn't stop, but now trolled when S was around instead, because he didn't feel like making himself heard. Because he felt like making himself heard. Needless to say, this relationship was ended after a lovely incident after going to see a movie where this cougar proved that the claws really do come out and has quite the uppercut. She no longer dates a troll and hasn't for months, and still thanks me for that, as well as finally learning to shut up about the furry stuff, except in certain circumstances. But that's not the only incident that has happened. While I was in college and making friends up and down, a lot of my friends tended to be the ones in the D&D club. However, a few of them started picking up on my furry things. One of them, one friend, who we'll call M, seemed to find out it out of nowhere, and like S, would freely tell people that I was one, but not in the same context.
So are you sure you're friends with this S person? You're kind of like airing your personal laundry.
This type of context...
Check out this dude's boxers!
Didn't bother me as much because...
Is that
S,
Congressman Wiener?
Because where S would tell people without realizing the consequences, M realizes the consequences of telling some people and knew where not to say things. This ended a lot of our mutual ended with a lot of our mutual friends knowing and not many caring or making the occasional crack when I played something even remotely animal-based, like a shifter or a catfolk. But here's the kicker. When playing a D&D game, one of the gamers who we weren't friends with happened to spot me being on FA on my laptop and asked if I was a furry. I told him yes to keep his voice down. This guy, who we'll call Special Cat, told me he too was a furry, but somehow this turned his mind into, we should be insta friends because we're both furries in college in bumfuck nowhere, Maine. Now, one thing I know about Special Cat is his name is not a misnomer. He is mentally handicapped. I have nothing against those with mental handicaps. My uncle is autistic. And generally they can be quite fun if you treat them like normal people. Well, this one didn't recognize that I didn't flaunt my furriness in real life and kept asking me why I didn't show my furry side more often. He also kept begging me to try and get some custom RL furry races in the D&D game I ran. He also didn't get much rule of personal space. And that can be a big thing with me if I'm even remotely uncomfortable around you. I won't have to deal with him much anymore, since he has transferred to a local college, but Special Cat has taught me that yes, there are those special types of fur out there that are just a little creepy. Those are some of the instances I've had myself. Hope to hear some other fun instances. Border the Boston Cougar. P.S. Much belated birthdays to Birthday Loves to Foxy Savern, and good luck with everything going on in your life with your mother, Fuzz.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Special Cat sounds special.
Derf Cat. But, you know, takes all kinds. Yeah, well. You know, I kind of wonder, you don't always have to be like, oh, dude, this guy's a total furry. It's like, well, you're putting him in a box, for one. And it's not like it's a defining characteristic of who you are. It's not your, you know, it's in a skin color. Oh, he's furry. Gotta have, or, you know, it's not a sexuality. But
well, it is for some people.
I just kind of wonder, it's like, who in their right mind thinks it's remotely okay to be like, lol, herp-a-derp, yeah, this guy, this random new person, hey, he's a furry. What, in what universe would that be fine?
That's like saying, that guy likes magic users.
That guy watches anime. Okay.
Ooh,
that guy, he goes to Ren Fairs.
Ooh.
This guy's a fan of hand-drawn traditional animation in the style of Studio Ghibli and has been a big fan of everything they've done since 1980-whatever.
Ooh.
You know? It's like... It's,
I don't think I'm going to try to top that. That was pretty good.
It just seems so just ridiculous that people...
Yeah, feel the urge to out you?
Yeah, it's like, well... Yeah, I'm into furry. Yeah, I'm into a lot of things. Whatever.
At that point, you know, you turn to the other person and be like, yeah, and this guy, he's retarded.
Ooh. yeah.
It's a deeply held belief.
Omina.
Oi.
Omina.
Oi, oi, oi.
Erp a derp.
So, you guys surprise furry attacks.
Oh, let's see. I haven't had so much RL. I have... Now, I've had it with, like, at work in the past.
Are you thinking of laugh?
Yeah.
No, I'm not thinking.
You're not thinking of laugh. You're thinking of a horrifying incident that scarred me for life.
Yes, yes, I am. But you don't have that job anymore, so we can laugh about it.
Celestia.
Laugh is the one that you turned for.
Yes, laugh is the one that I turned for, and he's a really cool dude.
Sorry about the noise. I think I got the erectile dysfunction.
Just, you know, if you stroke it a little, it'll stiffen right up.
Yeah.
I'm
getting it in front of my
Well,
in
just
muscle.
A matter of, you know, getting time off. Like, what are you doing? Well, I'm running a convention.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of convention? And I explain. And they go, oh, cool. I might come check it out. You do that.
Yeah.
And they didn't, which is fine. If they had, whatever.
Okay, you guys go pick me up, all right?
Yeah, you're fine.
You're fine.
And, like, my parents was probably the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, I keep my interests fairly, I guess, close to vest in terms when it comes to, like, public interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say you have a vested interest?
Dead on thump.
Yes!
In not appearing, like, creepy?
Yes.
And I'm not saying that being interested in such things is creepy. It's just there's certain people that are like, ooh, they have to judge you for, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like a benign interest.
Ooh, you like hand jobs.
Who doesn't like hand jobs?
Yeah.
Amputees.
Oh.
Oh, but think how much easier fisting is.
Yeah. Oh. And now we're going to get angry emails from amputees.
I lost my fist and hand in the shit. Wow. I didn't even realize that was such a horrible double entendre, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just got eaten by the leeches.
So, Yufuz, do you have any surprise?
Surprise furry attack? Ah!
Out of nowhere.
One day, way back in the day, I was working at Montgomery Ward, and I lived in Florida. And the only con I'd ever been to at that point was MFM, because this was before FWA started, and it was, like, the next closest con that we could get to. And I wished that I had called out and said something, but one day I'm standing behind my counter, and I'm just... cleaning stuff up or whatever, and I see these two guys walk by, and one of them was wearing an MFM t-shirt, and I'd never seen them before at any of the local meets or anything like that, and it occurred to me too late to be like, oh, hey, furries, you know, and I feel like this was way, people probably don't believe this now, but I used to be really shy, and this was in my very shy, introverted kind of time.
What's your name?
Buzzer Wolf.
You squeak.
Yeah. I've come out a lot since then of my shell. I mean, not out of the closet as such. My shell.
Your thick chocolatey shell.
My what?
Your thick chocolatey shell. Candy coated.
For a second, I said my thick crotchety shell. Like, yeah,
no.
There's that. And I don't know if I can count, but my current employer, I work with
a lot.
Four other furs work for the same company. One not in the same office, but still.
I think you're up from four.
Well, including me, it's five, but I said four other furries.
Don't name names.
No, I was just counting on my finger.
I'm just like,
Well, I mean, you know, at least three of them, the listeners know that I work with Recky and Sarah and Zapnut also.
Yeah.
So.
No, there's number five. You're sitting. Call.
Oh, is it? Okay, I guess I was counting him separate. Oh, okay, I don't know. Because he's the most recent one to be added. My bad. So. Yeah, including me, it's six. Six furries working at the same company.
One, two.
Yeah. Yes. Stop. Counting them out.
Clop.
Clop, clop, clop. Six of us working there. Five of us are on the same floor in the same office.
So,
I mean, we haven't had any, like, accidental furry things. Luckily, all the furs I work with seem to be pretty good. They're all smart and actually professional, so no one's all Murray-purry at work showing up with a tail or anything like that, you know?
I can just see, you know, Zap show up in a suit one day looking sharp as fuck. Top hat, you know, proper hat.
And flip-flops.
Tiger tail.
Don't forget the flip-flops.
Tiger tail.
I'm dapper as fuck. Yeah.
Recky shows up with a Koopa shell strapped to his back. I don't know.
And, like, people start talking, we just, like, puts it over his head. I'm talking to you.
I'm on lunch.
And see, they're not here to defend themselves.
Well, you know, you can say it about me, too, you know. And yeah. I'm just fucking a guy in my cubicle. Is this what wolves do?
Yeah.
They get bored, fuck someone randomly. My accidental, well, furriness was semi on purpose. I knew that there was a whole bunch of local furs, and I worked in a big tech support place, which was, well, you know, it was full of nerds and all kinds of nerds. So I put out bait. So I had like a little doodle that I just stuck on my wall. And just seeing if anybody commented on it, because I was just trying to meet new people. I just moved to town, was hoping to find somebody. And lo and behold, this new guy gets transferred onto my team. And after being on the team a couple days, he walks up and says, you know, hey, did you draw that? It's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, so you're into that too? It's like, yep. And we started complaining, oh, well, do you play on any mucks? Why, yes, I do play on mucks. Which mucks? Furry muck. Oh, I'm on furry muck, too. Doing the whole dance of do I know you? And it's like dancing around, dancing around, dancing around. It's like, wait a minute. I hang out in the area was Herm Haven. I play a Chaka. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah, I hang out there, too. Who are you? And it turned out to be someone I actually knew online. I'd known him for like 5 years online. Didn't know him at all personally, and he had just dropped off the face of the planet like several months earlier. Turned out he had moved to Texas, got a job in my workplace, and that's where he had been, and he just didn't have his computer set up. And because he had moved out of his parents' house, left pretty much everything behind, and he was just, so some person I had known online for forever turned up at my work, at my desk, going, holy crap, this is where you've been for like the last 8 months.
Where have you been my whole life?
So, yeah, we hung out a while till he moved back up to Michigan. It was really cool. It was just, that was my, oh my God, furry moment. Not only did I find a random furry, I found someone I knew.
That is pretty bitching. I don't think I've had an experience quite that cool when Druid. So is that like
it's my little druid. So while she was talking, I'm looking at websites and going, oh, this is new. And it's, somebody drew a feral druid, Taran, apparently, because it has the horns, as sort of a sort of pony lion thing.
Lion.
They're confused as well. Well, after all, you know, druids are like, what, six forms now? Seven?
I don't know. I lost count.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's Wolf Wow. Agatree.
Ah, okay.
Save that.
Well, you're ruining the podcast with all this WoW discussion. Yeah.
Okie dokie.
I don't know. I actually have a... I can't even be that dumb to fake it. So, I'm sorry. My parody of people bitching is failing utterly.
Derpity.
So...
So hey, let's go on to
the I was going to say, Sarah, I am going to call you out on the ponies for just a second. Stop looking at them and read an email.
But there's a new draw friend to post on Equestria Daily.
You need to rein that in.
I'm just looking at the net. Alright, so back into the on-topic emails. We have one titled Incidents. Hey, casters of the knot. Fellow longtime listener, Britt Furfag here, sending in my first email. There are three times that Furry has popped up in RL, and unsurprisingly, all of them in one way or another have been linked to sex or porn. Okie dokie. The most memorable incident involving Furry was when my younger cousin came around and we decided to use the computer. Me, being the dunce I am, forgot to exit all the windows that would raise eyes, so just my luck that he had to click on the window that had a fox and a wolf going at it like there was no tomorrow. Only for me to say, I don't know how that got there, and quickly closing the window. The moral of the story is always close your internet browser before company comes around, or at least the suspicious ones. The second incident was less uncomfortable, still makes me wonder how shit can get on TV. I was sleeping at a friend's, and for the shits and giggles, he changed the channel to a program called Sexorama, only for the stereotypical furries fucking fursuit segment to come up.
Oh my god.
While the program did mention these were extreme furries, it didn't make it look like all furs did it, which is not surprising. Mm. Also, these people weren't even furs. The people they were yiffing in the shoots they had were those that had been paid to be in the panel on the show, as we had just seen them talking about their food fetishes beforehand. Talk about journalistic forgery. A friend said, who would even want to do that? No one would want them. They're just going to die loners. Only for me to think, you don't even know the half of it. Really? Is this like, are you in the UK or something? Oh wait, he just said he was in the UK. He's Brit. Derp.
Why?
British tabloid television.
Oh, being that dishonest. Yeah. Yeah, at least when terrible American shows get furries to appear on them,
yeah,
really retarded furries. They're not fake furries.
Yeah, in America, you get real retarded furries on our TV shows about furries instead of fake retarded furries.
Which does unfortunately kind of imply that there are no really retarded furries in the UK, but they are aplenty here in the States.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of retarded ones out in the UK, but I'm sure that most of them were smart enough to stay away from a show called Sexorama. Here's, okay.
Sexorama sounds like a name that you would give to an event that was being run kind of like a gun show. You know?
Sunday, bring your double enders. We've got two-hander, one-handers, three-handers. Four dongs in your body has room for.
Sexorama at the American Airlines Center. One day only.
We'll sell you the seat, but you only need the shaft.
Condoms.
Use them.
That should be that. We should just append that to the end of every episode.
The third time furry came up in my life was back in high school.
Oh man, they should make a brand called Anthro Condoms because everyone would buy them.
One of my friends knew I was a fur, but unfortunately, he is very easily made tipsy and is friends with some major douchebags. He told them I was a fur while under the influence, and they interpreted this as bestiality and promptly spread the rumor that I was a zoo. Even having the nerve to whisper it to someone behind me in music class so I could hear. No, luckily, no one much cared for their gossip, and life went on as usual. Well, that's good.
Got lucky.
Yeah, hope to write in again when there's topics then I could write in about, and hope you guys keep me laughing and entertained for lots more episodes to come. Genki Akita 45. P.S. Fuzzwolf has the sexiest voice, hands down.
Your pants.
Also, I wonder if she was getting this email. If so, I hope it wasn't too bad for her to read.
You dodged a bullet this time.
Yeah. Okay.
Why, thank you.
There is one more on-topic email. Harvey Milken, 144. Actually, that's four emails, so we should probably just go to a quick break. So we're going to do that, because even though we're like, lol, it's going to be a short show this week, we're already like 50 minutes in. 62 minutes into the actual recording, but there's like 10 minutes of us just blathering.
Beyond the usual, yeah. 20 minutes of us just blathering.
Well, then we started the show, and then we had 20 minutes of blathering, so we're doing great this week. So we're going to take a quick break. This week's song was actually suggested to us by one of the emails that has not been read yet. No, that's Fluttershy is the God Emperor of Mankind. Wrong tab. This one is called Kirby Superstar Ska Buffet All You Can Eat. It is Kirby. It is ska. It's a pretty interesting combo, and I bet some of y'all will like it. Enjoy.
Fries.
Okay, all right. And we're back. This week's item from AdamandEve.com is the 10-function pleasure bendy vibrator. It's bendy in shit.
You're a pro.
So I lost. So it's $46.95 regular price, but our coupon code not. It's KNOT takes off 50%. Find that perfect angle with this ultra flexible pink vibrator. Its 6.5-inch insertable length is encased in soft, lifelike rubber. It really screams just like something that's alive. Molded with corkscrew ridges to screw you good. Oh, just like a used car salesman. Oh, yeah. And its flexible spine bends and stays that way, just like after the accident. Oh. To hit your hottest spots, just like Texas during a drought. Then tap the control to choose between 10 separate and powerful vibration functions, like that armchair that you bought off the Sky Mall.
I thought you were going to say something like, your mom.
No, that would be too lowbrow.
Butt off your mom?
Yeah. 3 AAA batteries sold separately. So, yeah, it's a big palm. Pink, flexible, twisty. It looks sort of like an ice cream swirly cone.
Yeah.
Except you stick it in you. See, Shiva? Doesn't that look like fun?
Yeah. You didn't go where I thought you were going to go, so that's good.
Wait, where'd you think I was going to go?
I'll explain later.
Oh, God. And the website recommends you may also need Sex Card Game, My Private O Vibrator Purple, Adam and Eve Essential Toys Cleaner, and Sultry Skincare Mini Set. Your mileage may vary. 1.5 inches wide, 8.5 inches long. Interestingly, it says gender, female. Do all of them do that, Saren? Say what gender the toy can be used on? Or is it saying that the dildo itself is actually female? We should refer to it as a lady because it's pink. It's Pinkie Pie.
Oh, but it's got spiral like a unicorn horn.
That's true. It's Pinkie Pie's perverted cousin, Porny Pie.
There you go.
All you gotta do is take a cup of lube, add it to your dick. I think I just made Saverin die a lot inside. Take this supple, bendable vibrator with you into the tub or shower for slippery thrills. It's waterproof for the wildest kinds of fun. Oh my. And it has a 5-star rating. So yeah. Buy that shit. What's it called again? I'm terrible at this. I should have thought about this before offering to do it. 10-function pleasure bending vibrator. It's really, really impressive looking. AdamandEve.com. Use our coupon code NOT. Get 50% off, free domestic shipping, 3 free fuck tapes, and a free gift. Over to you, Saverin, with the next email.
Okie dokie. Buzz. You're not Loki. Okay.
That's debatable.
I love the names of sex toys. Just, they sound so squirmy rabbit love her. Wet wabbit vibrator. Yeah, there's one actually called that. You almost have to do it like in an Elmer Fudd voice.
Wet wabbit.
Wet wabbit vibe waiter.
I'll get one for bugs.
Nasty bulleted balls kit. Crotchless lace-up shorts.
Yeah, but if
for when balls you want to go
bulleted, that means you've been shot in the groin. That's not good at all.
The Vicky Quicky Pocket Pussy.
Hmm. Adam and Eve actually has a lot more Lilo toys now.
Okay. What about Stitch? Oh, there's like an Adam and Eve gay website. I wonder if the coupon code works there.
Ooh.
It's adammail.com.
Hmm.
Huh. Somebody try that out and see if our not coupon code works on their gay affiliated site. I'm curious.
Yeah, because that's like a larger part of our demo.
Right.
Well, you can always like put together an order and plug that in and see if it calculates.
True. Yeah. There's actually a link here for oversized gay sex toys. Oh my god, those dicks look huge. There's one called the Fence Post Dong. Hang on, I gotta see how long it is. It's 16 inches long and 2 inches wide.
Oh, so it's like, yeah.
Wow. See, prior to having a colonoscopy, it's so much easier if they make your intestines a completely straight line first. Because then the doctor doesn't need the little fiber optic camera. He could just shine a flashlight down there and be like, "Nah, you're fine.
Watch out for my Minox." It's just like in Star Wars.
Oh my goodness.
Straight fleshy tunnel. Oh my god. So hey, how about an email? I'm gonna read an email. Emails are good. Email. Harvey Milk in episode 144. To the wonderful fur casters of Nottingham. In episode 144, you happened to talk about how gays and lesbians, not so long ago, had it pretty bad, but it had gotten better. On that thought, I wanted to talk about a great documentary I had just got done watching from 1984, an Academy Award Academy documentary winner film called The Times of Harvey Milk. I saw the 2008 Sean Penn movie Milk and thought it was really good, but after I watched this documentary and hearing the people who knew Harvey Milk, it made me sad that we lost someone who was a true force for all the people he represented. What is sad to hear people using the same old ideologies today, to deny the rights to marry, it makes me sad that we still have these bigots who stick their fingers in the ear and shout, "The world is coming to an end if," instead of possibly opening their eyes, taking their fingers out of their ears, and possibly giving someone else's point of view at least a thought. Am I being idealist? Anyways, I had to write this in to you naughty notcasters, and I hope you see the movie. Thank you for your voice. A listener from the very beginning, a running cat. I know this probably didn't fall into any topic, but I was moved by what I said in the what was said in episode 444 in the movie The Times of Harvey Milk, and I just wanted to let others know about it as well. PSS, I did my absolute best to make this email as readable as I could. And see, this is my fault. I was just stumbling over my words. I got a little too far ahead of myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his email is actually very well written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you're good.
That's us.
I've not actually seen that movie, honestly. I'm not big on documentaries.
Well, I haven't seen the documentary, but I had seen the Sean Penn docudrama from a few years ago. And that was good. But I think he mentioned that he'd seen that already.
Yeah. And, you know, it's an uphill fight, but slowly but surely, we are going to win.
You know, we should talk about, you know, it's July now, but, you know, we did just pass Gay Pride Month. And, you know, I think we did mention this on a previous show, that I think it is important that we know our gay history.
Yeah.
And especially, have I mentioned Alan Turing on the show?
Yeah.
Probably have in the past, but it's worthwhile to mention him again.
Yeah, he's...
Was it relatively recently, or I don't know, poor people?
No, it was a while ago.
This is someone that to me is a very important figure in history in general, and it came out later on that he was gay. It's also, to me, one of the most tragic stories in gay history. So, in the 1940s, Turing was one of the people who was working on a code to decipher the German...
The Enigma machine.
The Enigma machine to decipher the German codes during the Second World War.
Second World War.
And he's often referred to now as the father of modern computing, because he basically made a logic machine in what eventually became the first computers.
Cracked the code and helped.
That cracked the code and helped win the war. This was all very top secret hush hush stuff that he was working on in Britain at the time.
And like the crazy shit was like when they knew there was going to be an airstrike in certain areas, they couldn't really move shit out of the way. Otherwise, that would reveal the fact that they'd broken the code.
Yeah,
I mean, so there was crazy ass times.
It was, and he is by all accounts a war hero. You know, and he really was very important to the Allies' war effort. And it was discovered later on that he was gay. And this was a time when homosexuality was illegal in the UK. So he was put on trial and basically given a choice of... I can't remember how horrible the two choices were.
Like hormone therapy or castration or something.
Yeah, like castration was one of them. And he opted for basically chemical castration, which was the hormone therapy, which has one of the side effects of severe depression. And he eventually committed suicide by injecting cyanide into an apple and taking a bite out of it. And it's, you know, because he was a criminal at the time, basically, just because he was gay. And for the longest time, you know, he wasn't really regarded at all. But that's changed recently. There's several monuments and statues to him. His childhood home is like a historic landmark and mm-hmm. stuff now. So Britain's come a long way in the whole gay rights struggle and actually, you know, seeing us as human beings. But I think it's just to me, it's a really tragic thing. I mean, he was someone that jump-started a lot of our modern computer science theories, helped out the war effort in a big way, and was arrested and put on trial just because he was gay.
It's like, never mind all that good shit you did for us, you're a fag.
Pretty much, yeah. Which is, you know, I've actually read up on gay psychology, that a lot of gay people work harder and strive harder at their jobs because they feel that they have to make up for the fact that they're gay. And at any time, someone could come in and be like, all this wonderful shit that you did, that you achieved, means nothing because you're a fag. And so, like, the effects of this over decades is still sort of ingrained in the psychology of gay culture, and we're still not really over it. And you know, and I remember I had feelings like that a few years back when I was still very on the down low with all this,
that you kind of had to prove yourself.
Yeah, that I felt that I had to do a better job than my straight coworkers, that I had to be like, even though I'm not straight, I can still achieve so much, like it was a hindrance or a handicap. And you know, and that's just the pressure of society and the way the world views gay people. And I'm totally over that shit now.
Yeah.
Now if I want to achieve something, I'll fucking do it for myself.
I want to believe, and this is, I guess, overly optimistic, perhaps, that my generation, our generation, you know, I'm 28, you're in your early 30s, Fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
That the people from when we were born will be the last generation that had to deal with this level of institutionalized bullshit.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That the kids that are born in the 90s, the kids that were born in 2000, aside from the quaint old men in dresses who, you know, spout from their ivory towers while diddling the choir boys,
mm-hmm.
you know, that nobody takes that shit seriously anymore. And that gives me a lot of hope for the future, that you've got these sad old bigots dying off and the people to replace them aren't there.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So.
And most of that shit's not even taken seriously anyway. I mean, you think Catholics really don't have sex before marriage and never wear a condom when they don't want to get their wives pregnant.
That's the leadership.
You know, yeah, that's just what the leadership is saying. But, you know, there was a comedian, I think it was Jon Stewart, actually, that said the Pope he'd never seen anyone who is so beloved that nobody listens to. Because, you know, and he did like a little example thing, like, we love you, Pope! You know, this is back in John Paul II's age, you know, when he comes out to visit, and he's like, be celibate. Everyone's like, ha ha, Pope, such a kidder, you know?
Oh, Pope, you're so wacky.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and
hopefully one day that sort of point of view of you're completely disregarding what your religious leader is telling you because you don't like it will be applied to the church's opinion on gays as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it'll happen, you know.
Yeah.
They'll be like, yeah, we don't... It's going to turn from, oh, Leviticus says this, but we love our shrimp, too. Leviticus says a lot of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, give it time. It's already had 2,000 years too many, but, you know...
Yeah.
The change will happen whether or not the old fogies like it or not. And it's my hope that that my generation is the last to have to deal with it in such a degree.
I hope so. I hope we have a lot of equal rights and shit within my lifetime.
Even within our lifetimes, we've had things like, you know, like the Trevor Project that we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, where
legal in states, you know, across the nation,
in countries across the world, like 29 countries now.
Oh, speaking of Trevor Project, today we have a new system at work for our benefits, and I had to go in and update. If I have an untimely demise, mm-hmm. then I had to designate the beneficiaries of my 401k program, basically. So. And, you know, it's not a ton of money, but... So, I've got it set up right now where 70% of it goes to Tieran, because he can handle shit like my funeral expenses and stuff like that. And 30% goes to the Trevor Project.
That's cool.
So, if I die, I'll try to help out some young gay kids on the way, basically.
Yeah. Don't die anytime soon, though.
No. While I'm still alive, I can work and donate. And,
yeah.
And, you know, speak about the Trevor Project, but yeah, if something happens to me, then they'll get a little bit of cash.
Yep. So, another email, Fuzz.
My turn again?
Pick one.
Alright, let's see.
There's three left.
Okay, I will do the hater one. Well,
it's not the hater one.
Not that the person writing it is a hater, it's the subject is haters, I guess. So yeah. The subject line is, stop liking what I don't like. Dear Notcast, while I agree with you guys about the pony hate, I too identify as a brony, I want to offer a counterpoint. Fanboying all over something can alienate as many as it brings in, because it starts to associate the fans with the product. I have not read nor seen anything Harry Potter related, but it has been completely ruined for me by the fans who would not shut up about it. All their OMG Harry Potter OMG has made me avoid it. Also, raise your paw if you have never mocked Twilight fans. Raise your paw if you want to hear people going on about Twilight. People mock the fans for liking Twilight as much as they mock Twilight. But here are fans enjoying something and they get made fun of. How is that different than the brony hate business? There is a point where you say, I get it, you like it, but chill out a little. Re-chan.
Well, that's the thing. Have we ever talked about Twilight on the show?
A little, yes.
I have occasionally made a sarcastic quip, but I don't think I've ever said someone is dumb for liking Twilight.
You know, but I could say
that part of the thing is that I don't really know anyone in real life that likes Twilight or talks about it all that much if they do. So I haven't really had to face that, I guess.
Our local circle of friends does not include too many 15-year-old girls or their moms.
I live with one that really likes it, and he gets mad when people bash it.
It's a book series.
I know.
If it gets you reading, okay. Stephanie Myers, apparently she's not the best author, but I'm not a good author either.
See, someone was telling me about this recently. Apparently she is. She's written her Twilight series with a specific age group audience in mind, but, and I wish I could remember who I was talking to about this, but they had read other shit that she had written, because she's written more than just the Twilight series. And the other shit that she had written for an adult audience is written in a very different style.
I mean, it could be that, you know, Twilight is young adult fiction. And young adult fiction right now is all about zombies and vampires and ghosts and werewolves. And, ooh, it's sort of grim, dark, and I am a vampire. And that's what sells. It's not so much, I mean, that it's a shitty book. I don't know. I'm not going to read it. It's not aimed at me demographically. But if people love that shit. People love young adult paranormal romance adventure novels. I think Dresden Files is pretty cool. That's almost young adult.
Is it? I thought that was...
Could be. Oh. Huh. And, how about y'all talk a second?
Oh, okay.
Dr. Mario is calling.
Alright. I was wondering what that theme was. Well, the other thing I was going to say was that we have actually addressed on the show in our Haters Don't Be Hatin' episode, pretty much, that I do think it's pretty lame when people attack Twilight, Justin Bieber, Owl City, insert any top 10, top 40 song or movie here, basically, that attacking shit just because it's popular is lame. And, you know, it's okay to make, like, the occasional sarcastic quip or something, but the kind of, the level of bile that I've been seeing thrown around pony fans in the fandom, not necessarily at me directly, luckily I seem to have dodged most of the bullets, but it really goes well beyond a lot of the shit I've seen about Twilight or Harry Potter or anything else.
I don't know. I see a lot of Harry Potter.
Oh, a lot of Harry Potter. I'm talking about the hate level. A lot of Harry Potter hate, really? Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. I've only ever seen people saying that they enjoyed it or that this movie was better than the book or it wasn't or whatever.
Yeah, very much, oh my God, not more of Harry Potter. But I can kind of understand what he's saying with Harry Potter. I mean, to some extent, the pony thing has gotten to be a little bit much for me. I mean, I know you guys are into it and everything else, but it's just getting to be a little bit... I'm kind of hitting burnout on it, I guess. I'm waiting for the new series, but and I can't wait to see it, but I'm just kind of not so much into the whole...
The thing that...
Like you guys are.
The thing that irritates me is that I think it's a double standard. Not necessarily with you. I mean, with people bitching about it. Because in the example I always go to is Doctor Who. The other big media thing that I probably talk about the most of any other movie or book or...
And folks haven't written band to give you crap about
or whatever.
It.
And I haven't gotten an ounce of shit for being a Doctor Who fan and for talking about it a lot on this show. And I've had at least a dozen people write to me or put a comment on the Notcast blog saying, I started watching Doctor Who because you guys were talking about it.
Yeah. And we didn't really get a lot of crap for when we used to wow fag a lot either.
No.
So.
Right.
And I think I was going to add my little two bits was you're kind of missing out on Harry Potter, but you might be too old for it. Because it was written, it's young adult fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can't wait for it to come out. I'll be seeing the next movie.
It's popcorn-y, it's good reading, and if you're going to stay away from it because it's popular, you're a hipster, and that's bad.
Yeah, but I can still see what the burnout factor.
No, there's a balance with everything, and I think we've only been bringing it up more in a sort of, if you give a shit about it, it's going to make us want to talk about it more to fuck with you.
Yeah.
And I think that is a natural human rebellion sort of reaction.
Now, in before somebody writes in an email griping about us talking about traditional animated features for 30 minutes before we got to the emails.
See, and you know...
How dare you talk about Lion King positively? Ah!
And that won't fucking happen.
No.
Because for some reason, it is a complete double standard with this fucking pony thing. I don't understand it. There seems to really not be a middle ground. You either love it or hate it.
I've gotten a couple tweets that are like, you know, I used to hate it, and then I gave it a chance with an open mind. I like it. What have you done to me? Okay. Just as planned.
My God, you've turned me into an 8-year-old girl. What have you done to me?
whatever. But yeah, it's one of those things that I think, and I keep saying this, and I keep saying this, I'm going to keep saying it, but nobody listens. I feel like Cassandra. Quit worrying about what other people like, for fuck's sake. Like what you like and don't apologize for it. If it's not hurting anybody, what fucking business is it of anybody else? If you like anime, if you like video games, if you like ponies or furry or anything, fucking stand up for yourself, have some spine, and be like, I like this shit. What are you going to do about it?
Cry. A lot.
Cry some more, noob. Slap them.
You know, I'm going to go to them. I'm going to go to this brony meetup, but I'm not going to hide the fact or dodge the question that I'm also a furry as well as a brony. And I am like 99.9% positive nobody will give me shit about it because it's in real life and they're not hiding behind a computer screen. Yeah. A lot of this has to do with massive internet balls and none in real life.
Well, that's like, okay, so we're going to bring that up. So the
internet
meetup,
balls?
No, the meetups I posted on my I posted it on my FA.
I didn't mean to out the meetup. I don't know if that was a thing or not.
Like, I got an email for the other show that was like, you know, somebody saw this on another forum and I saw this, and they're gonna try to come in and raid on your parade. And I'm like,
are you fucking serious?
Yeah, and I'm like, there's 20 plus people coming to this event. What is he gonna do? Act like a douchebag? Oh, excuse me, security. This guy is harassing us. Please remove him from the property.
There's 20 of us and one of him, and we have hooves.
Fuck you.
But no, seriously, no violence. Just, you just let the fucking people at the facility know.
It's
and
just like, you know, it's internet tough guy. Ooh, you're not so tough when there's 20 of us.
And, you know, security is hustling you out.
Where did you see this?
Oh, it was somebody emailed into the Bronyville account and was like, I saw this on another forum. This guy saw your meetup.com thing and, you know, ooh, I'm going to go fuck with them.
Was it a furry or just a random hater?
Fuck if I know.
Oh, okay.
And it's just one of those, how random. That's cute.
Bizarre to me.
Well, that'd be like if I had a furry meetup group and somebody wanted to come troll. Mm-hmm. It's because they think we're going to be standoffish, weak nerds who will just take their bullshit because we're cowards or something. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Brosef, I don't play that game.
Wow,
This is my meetup group that I am leading. I'm not going to have some fucker come mess with it.
I'm honestly really surprised that you got an email like that. Well,
No. It was somebody warning us. It wasn't somebody saying, oh, I'm going to fuck with your shit.
Okay.
No,
it was somebody warning.
And I'm just like, what the hell's wrong with you? Are you going to go to like a Fermi where people with a similar interest are just to be like, fuck with them? Are you going to show up at a woman's knitting circle and be like, fuck you, yarn is for faggots. String all the way. Cross-stitch for life, motherfucker. People are retarded.
You see a man there, you slap the knitting needles out of his head. Real men collect stamps, bitch. Philately or get the fuck out.
What?
Hello? Stamp collecting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
You know, it's like, what's that? You restore, you know, Chevrolets. Well, fuck your shit. Ford, you know.
Oh, no, I have heard that, though. Like, wasn't there that happened in the movie sometime? Like, can you park that around back? We're a Ford family.
Like, well,
didn't
want to
see the GM parked in the...
But yeah, it's like the meetup.com groups are like for this most utterly benign stuff. It's like there's a 400 member WoW group on Meetup that's right here in DFW. Okay, that's cool. They group together in groups 25 and raid the Galleria, I guess. I don't know.
Like, storm up and down the Galleria with swords and foam swords.
Speaking
and
of people gathering together for weird reasons, what was this about white masks and down by your work today?
Oh, yes. So this happened all over, actually. And apparently this probably actually happens in the show, but it was like a student march to promote Torchwood, and they were in the white masks, and they were holding signs that said Miracle Day. Some had the cast, some said Who Will Save Us, and this is really cool because it's the BBC and Starz really getting in on the social media thing. I first discovered this because I checked in at a location in downtown Dallas, and you know, for those not familiar with Foursquare, some of the locations have tips on them that have been left by other users. And one of the tips was this vaguely worried thing about the students will march 7/7/11 Miracle Day. And that's the name of the Torchwood miniseries, Miracle Day. And I was like, oh, that's... I wonder if they're really going to do anything. And then Keo today tweeted that there's all these people outside this building promoting Miracle Day and have white masks on. I was like, that's the thing I read about. That's really cool. And if you search the hashtag Miracle Day on Twitter, you'll see people tweeting from all over the country. They did them in Washington, in Boston, out in Colorado. There's a picture, actually, at an Apple store, and it was captioned, "Not even Apple can save us!" And it was like all the people in the white masks and the signs in inside and outside this Apple store. I think it was somewhere maybe like New York City or something like that, or cool. Maryland. But yeah, it's really cool to see something Doctor Who related. Really, you know, they're doing the social media, Foursquare, Twitter, the concept of a flash mob to promote, you know, something Doctor Who related. I thought it was really kind of cool. So
yeah,
that was sort of neat. How did we get on that topic? But
I don't know. We're a very random show tonight, and that's okay.
I just thought it was cool. There's your Doctor Who related
That was about people meeting up to do shit.
Yes, right. There we go. Yes,
our crazy train does have tracks.
I would hate to lay the track for this fucking train. It'd be like loop-de-loos and fucking figure eights all over the fucking place.
Like, this is where Saverin goes off the cliff and comes back. And yeah. This is where Fuzz talks about something. This is Shiva stumbling over her words and it's all wibbly. And I'm doing arm motions, which would be really funny if this was a video podcast.
It's the only railway track with speed bumps on it. So I guess it's Shiva's turn, right?
Yes. Yep. Okay. I'm going to read an email. Let's see. Off-topic relationship advice seeking. Woo-hoo. Yeah, this one's... Yeah. Dear Notcast, I've got a predicament which will probably take a lot of text to describe, so apologies in advance. Let's jump right to it. I have a boyfriend who I've been dating for close to a year, 10 months, and we both love each other very much. My boyfriend and I are 7 years apart. I'm 19. Just add 7 to that. I can see this relationship going far and lasting long term. However, there's one thing that makes me uneasy, which is what I'll describe now. My boyfriend is a pot problem gambler, or at least used to be, and hasn't fully recovered. A few years ago, my boyfriend got into big debt due to visiting his casinos too often and not knowing when to quit. He's still paying off his debt today, working about 29 to 30 days a month to try and pay off his debt and save up at the house at the same time. This gambling debt has accumulated years before I met him as a friend, though there are still signs that he could do it again. He constantly buys lottery tickets, and totally probably cost him $30 to $40 a week. He frequently states how he wishes he could afford to go to Vegas for a week, and whenever he suggests we have a romantic getaway, he suggests we go to some casino he knows in a different part of the province.
Oh my.
The one and only time we've had a little vacation together, in fact, we did, in fact, go to a casino. Here's where I got a little intimidated and discovered how deep his obsession went. At a blackjack table, he walked in with 500 and got lucky enough to win a bunch of hands in a row, peaking at 1,300. At this point, I told him he should really cash out, as he's more than doubled what he's walked in with. Even the dealer said, "That sounds like a really good idea, sir," as the other player beside him nodded as well. He waved me off and said in a serious voice, "Not now, I'm in the zone." At this point, he started...
No, you gotta say that with the crazy voice. "Not now, man. I'm in the zone."
At this point, he started to lose every single hand until he finally decided to walk away with 300 and blaming me for his loss, saying I cursed him. In a joking manner. It's hard to tell whether he was serious or not. It's not just his gambling that has me a bit anxious, but about his money habits. He stated that he gets depressed when he doesn't make an expensive purchase for himself once in a while, like a TV or expensive computer part once every 3 months or so. There are a few other examples, but I don't want to tire your tongues with the tremendous tons of troublesome texts, so I leave it at this. I'm far more conservative with my money than he is, and this will obviously lead to some major issues later on in the relationship. What I'm asking is, what should I do? It's not what should I do, as I know I must talk to him about this, but what I'm asking is when and how I should confront him about this issue. I've hinted at my displeasure with his actions before, though I've never directly told him I have an issue with his money habits. I don't really have a starting point for an answer to this question, so any opinions would help. Thanks, Anonymous. P.S. Sorry for off-topic email. For the topic part, I once met a fur who happened to be in my lifeguard training course. We had a quick relationship for about 3 months, but it just didn't work out. And then they suggested the OC Remax.
Which I think, Savern, you are using this week, right?
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a subject, unfortunately, near and dear to my heart. Yeah, drama's going on in my life. Those who have listened probably heard about the crap from last year, where my mate decided it would be a good idea to take about $6,000 out of our savings account and go on a spending spree. We not really broke up, but he went back to Australia for a little bit, got his old job back right away, and managed to make it all back in some. Well, the thing is, he did this without telling me, kind of behind my back, and it led to some really heavy drama. That was a lot of money that he just blew on himself and hiding it from me. And unfortunately, this happened again recently. Once again, another spending spree, spent several thousand dollars behind my back on just selfish shit for himself. And unfortunately, this time was too much, and it looks like things are over because of this. But it goes back to having a mate with a spending problem and talking to them about it. And it doesn't, just because you talk to them about it, doesn't mean they'll fix it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But depending on how much of a blinder he's got on, just be prepared that he may not want to hear it. But it's basically going to, the next time he starts talking about buying something big, or when he starts talking about going to the casinos, especially going to the casinos, I'd say, just say, hey, I don't really like gambling. It might be good just to try and steer him clear of that. You know, saying, hey, I don't want to go to a casino. I don't want to go someplace where gambling's the main thing. Let's go to, I don't know, a water park. I don't know what kind of things that you find fun, but come up with some things to counter the suggestions of a casino. Or if he insists on going to a casino, make sure that other things are scheduled for that trip. Maybe spend one day at the casino, but insist on everything else going all over the place. But yeah, just what you're describing strikes me as worrisome. And I know that with my own situation, I am really overly sensitive to crazy spending, and I will be the first one to admit that right now this really tweaks my tail. Just spending like that, and just, yeah, it bothers me, but I'm biased. I'm very, very biased about spending like that. So that's my advice, is really, when he starts talking, tell him that whole thing where he gets depressed if he doesn't make a purchase. That's retail therapy. That's, you spend money to get a high, to make yourself feel better. It's just like going out and drinking. It's just like going out and binging on anything. You get a false high that doesn't affect whatever is underneath it that's causing the low. It's an artificial way to make yourself feel better. And it's not healthy. And it's usually destructive in the long run. Unfortunately, that's something I know all too well right now. But it's usually, it's a solution that doesn't fix the background problem. And as long as that background problem remains, it doesn't go away. And it just eats at things.
You guys have anything to add?
I think you said that pretty well. I mean, it's fucked shit up pretty well in your life. And it's pretty obvious that it could has a pretty good chance of fucking shit up in yours, too.
Yeah.
So just be careful.
Yours being the listener. Yeah. Yours and yours! There's two of you.
It's a fuck shit stack on top of itself.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a warning sign. I mean, it might be a controllable, not quite a problem, but it's definitely something that I think you want to confront him about.
Well, gambling in its own way, it's the same thing. You chase a high. You chase that good feeling that you get from winning, and it's just a way to ride the high.
Winning.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Somebody,
and then you crash afterwards, and, you know, it's like a drug.
Yeah, so you keep doing it to get that high back.
Good night, Panther.
So just be aware. Those highs, yeah. You may want to, like, have him suggest, like, go out to see Gamblers Anonymous, because he may have learned his lesson, but it sounds like the urge is still there, and it's definitely something to be wary of, because a little bit of depression and the temptation could come back even stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. You want to read the last one, Severn?
All right, let's knock this out.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the titles of some of these DVDs on Adam and Eve. Mommy Loves Chocolate Cocks.
And I just accidentally archived the wrong one.
It's titled Life.
Yeah, let me find it real quick. Yeah. I'm a pro.
It's titled Life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it.
Life.
God damn it, I'm a nerd. Anyway.
Klingons off the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. Klingons off the starboard bow.
Starboard bow, Jim.
And now we've got that suck in someone else's head.
Yay!
We're sharing the love. Life. As opposed to...
Oh.
Death.
Actually, can I discuss something right quick?
Okay.
This amused me. Because everyone thinks that furries are fucked up for sexualizing cartoons and stuff like that. Have you heard this about Smurfette being a model in Harper's Bazaar?
No.
What?
So, here's a couple pictures of Smurf, CG Smurfette doing modeling shots for this designer. Savern.
Oh,
what?
This is actually in... Here's the other one. These are actually in a magazine. And this same magazine also did this with Marge Simpson back in the day. But... I think I heard about this on a podcast or something earlier today, and I looked up the images and I'm like, oh my god, you know, this is mainstream media. This is not furry stuff. It just kind of amuses me. So hey, furries are not the only ones that are kind of fucked up or get a hard on over cartoons. Sorry for that complete non sequitur, but I had...
It's okay.
It popped up on my iPad again because I reopened Safari, and I was like, oh, I meant to mention that earlier.
Okie dokie. Dear Notcasters, this week's topic doesn't really apply to me much other than the fact that I'm pretty sure that my little brother is a furry due to his vivid interest in dragons. But that's for another day. What I want to talk about is this kind of check in on my new life here in Dallas and some of the things that I've learned while being here. First off, I want to clear something up. A lot of times you hear that furries make bad friends and they're untrustworthy. If there are furries out there like that, I have not met them. The people I've met here, including you guys, have been the greatest, most supportive group of friends I've ever had. The people here have pushed me to become better, to grow faster, and make the best decision I could. I've been a moving guy, a comforter, a playmate, a gamer, and most importantly, a shoulder to cry on when needed. Furries are a strange group of people. We're so different at the same time we're all the same. We have wildly different interests and personalities, but we have a strange bond that ties us all together. Oh, Fuzz missed it.
Huh?
Whether that be animals, games, anime, music, or whatever, we have a strange bond that ties us all together.
Oh, you're waiting for me to make a dog cock joke.
Yes, I was.
Okay, fine.
The people I have met in my journeys here have been the most expressive and echoing people I've met in my life, and make my family honestly look dysfunctional. Okie dokie. There is one thing I have to address that's been brought up several times on the show, but I want to give my opinion on it. That is drama. Now, drama is bad and should be avoided at all costs, but something else happens when something dramatic happens. Someone starts to cause trouble. It brings people closer together than before. Friends band together to support and comfort each other through the bad times. I assume he is in Houston, but Recky knows this better than anyone. I want everyone to know that no matter where you are in this fandom, you have friends, you have people out there who think like you and want to meet you. Anthony Notcasters, keep it up. Oh, and I'll see you at main event. Rez.
Awesome.
Yay! On an uplifting happy note.
Yay! Which is better than my otherwise downbeat one.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good that we ended on that.
That's why I went for the one I did and left that one for the end. It was a plan.
Good call.
Just as planned. So, anything else, guys? And you know, we're like, oh god, we're going to need a short week this week. Yeah. It's 108 minutes, 22 seconds right now. So we did an hour and a half show with 8 emails because we like to talk.
Yeah, I pride ourselves on like being able to pull a podcast out of anything.
Yeah, and I mean, we could keep going for a while, but it is 11 o'clock at night, and y'all have to go home and sleep.
Yes, we have the gerbs in the morning.
Yep. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do tomorrow, too, so laundry and...
Yeah, but you have to get up early to do those.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, okay.
So.
I didn't know you had a laundry deadline.
Well, no, I have other things that I have to do tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's actually more energy efficient to do laundry in the middle of the night when the rest of the showers or dishwashers and stuff aren't running.
Yeah. Well.
So you should, like, wake up at 3 a.m. and start laundry.
I'm sure that
you should Panther sing.
And our roommate would like that.
You should sing pony songs out loud while doing it to...
Stitching it together.
Yeah.
Twilight stress.
Severin, shut the fuck up! It's 3 a.m. There's a time for ponies and this is not it!
On that note, good night.
Yay!
We couldn't fit it all in.
Yep.